Hey, good morning, everybody. I'm Larry Jacobs. This is Pre-K-12 Education Talk Radio, which, as you know, is part of the American Consortium for Equity in Education. That's over at ACE-ED.org. That's where we're going to archive this podcast. If you go over there, amongst other things, you'll see an icon for podcasts, and it gets up there at the end of today, and you'll be able to share it with friends and listen whenever you like, et cetera, et cetera. Our magazine is over there, our online journal, Equity and Access. That's at ace-ed.org as well. That issue is going to sleep fairly soon. Over the next couple of days, we're going to put our newest issue up there, okay, which is equally excellent. Of course, we archive the old one right on site as well. But Equity and Access is a darn good journal, and I hope you take a few minutes and go over there and leaf through it and read a couple articles and see what we're doing and what other schools are doing, districts are doing in terms of equity, et cetera. Again, everything's over at ace-ed.org. Everything we do over there is free. Please go over, join with us. We'd love to have you. I'm going to continue a conversation today with a gentleman named Charlie D'Onofrio. Charles is from Lehigh Valley Children's Centers, okay, over near Allentown, Pennsylvania. Actually, in Allentown, Pennsylvania. It's the Allentown, Bethlehem area. And he's brought with him Eric Fontanez, who's a principal in one of the schools in Bethlehem, PA, Marvine Elementary, okay, in Bethlehem, PA. And so I brought them back home because I want to talk about how schools are partnering with communities to create family engagement at an early age. So, Charlie, are you there?
Yeah, Larry, I'm here. How are you today?
I'm fine today, my friend. How are you?
I'm doing well. I'm doing well.
Good. Can you hear that echo when I talk? Or is it just me?
I cannot hear it today.
Okay, let's find out if Eric can hear it. Eric, can you hear an echo when I talk?
Yes, I do hear a little echo, yeah.
Okay, I want you to do me a favor, Eric. I want you to hang up and call right back in.
Got it.
Okay, let's see if that kills that echo, okay? And there he goes. Hi, Charlie. No, that didn't
How
work.
Are you, Larry?
That
How's
work.
Everything going?
The echo. Poor. I'm going to have you hang up in a minute, see if it's your stupid phone that's doing that.
Okay, I can call back in another phone, yeah.
Yeah, but let him call back in, et cetera. Charlie, Lehigh Valley Children's Centers, tell us all about it.
Yeah, so we have 30 locations throughout Lehigh, Northampton, and Carbon County, and we operate anywhere from infant to 12 years of age, and we cover 17 different school districts in the Lehigh Valley.
Wow, it's just amazing what you do. We did that wonderful show. I think it was thanks to my friends at Waterford, right, to put us together.
Yeah, that's correct. That's correct. Waterford Early Learning, and they're a great attribute to Lehigh Valley Children's Centers.
They are. And I love that show so much that I wanted you to bring a principal on to see how you actually coordinate. That's what we're going to do with Eric. Let me introduce him. You hang up, and let's see if it's you who's causing the echo. It might be me. Okay, and then call right back in, Charlie. Okay, goodbye.
All right, sounds good. Yep.
And Eric's there now. I think it was Charlie and not you, Eric. I apologize.
I think you're right because the echo went away.
There you go. It's Charlie. Let's blame Charlie. Eric, tell us about your school, okay, and what you do, your principal of Marvine Elementary in Bethlehem.
Yes, I am.
Israel, PA. He's Pennsylvania, everybody. Like Bethlehem
right.
Steel.
Pennsylvania.
Yeah. Yeah,
but no, we're one of the 16 elementary schools here in Bethlehem. We have about we range anywhere from 275 to about 300 kids, depending on our enrollment. We're in we have a pretty high economically disadvantaged area here. We're a community school, but we're doing really well. We actually just became a 2020 National Blue Ribbon School, which is
nice.
A huge
congratulations.
Yeah, it's a huge honor for us. It's been wonderful. I have an amazing staff, amazing students, very hardworking.
Oh, that is just great. Congratulations. By the way, Charlie, it was you. It was you, Mr. Echo.
Okay. So do you want me to call that?
No, thou art forgiven. It seems to be corrected.
Okay.
Yeah,
okay.
Good.
You owe Eric a lunch now because he was the one we made him hang up first. So that's all there is to it. Okay. All right. What I wanted to talk about, and this is key stuff these days, school districts are really trying to get parents and families involved in their kids' education, literally from birth on, so that they're ready to go to school in kindergarten, which is very unlike. By the way, Eric, you don't know this. I grew up in Philadelphia, okay? And
okay.
I live in Maine now, but I grew up in Philly, okay? And my parents didn't even know there was school or anything until they sent me to school when I was 5 years old. Okay, up to that point, I knew nothing. I was like a blank slate, and they threw me in there. It's not the way it is these days, thank God. Okay, and we went preschool and parents involved from the very beginning. Okay, so Eric, let me ask you, and I want you to coordinate this for my audience and this national audience we're talking to. How do you as a principal interact with what Charlie does at the children's centers of Lehigh Valley, and how do you work that with your educators and the school district, et cetera, as an elementary school principal? You suddenly become responsible for kids almost from their birth, okay, to get them ready. And if they're not, we say they've fallen behind. Help us, Eric.
Yeah, and you're absolutely right. I think you said it best there with, if you don't have quality programs like, you know, what LVCC has and some of these pre-Ks around here, I mean, the kids, they are coming in with no prior experience. And, you know, we're starting earlier and earlier. You know, we're huge on our Reading by Grade 3 initiative that our district, pushes here and empowers. And if we don't have the students ready for kindergarten, it's really hard to get them there. So, you know, Charlie and I have worked together a lot since I was at another school and now over at Marvine, where, you know, we just try to get the families into some of the school buildings because we don't know what some of their prior experiences are. Our parents, they didn't have the best, the best career in education, right, you could say. And, you know, we try to change that, and sometimes that makes them hold back from coming into the building. So, you know, one example that I know Charlie has mentioned is, you know, we do a graduation here, pre-K graduation for LVCC, and we've used it at my old building. Now we've done it at my new building, and they bring their center, and they just hold back-to-back graduations. And it's amazing for the kids to be in the school buildings, to be up on the stage, to do their little pre-K graduation. They're so cute. And,
yeah.
But it's also wonderful for those parents to,
yeah.
you know, come
yeah.
into one of the 16 elementary schools in Bethlehem and see what it looks like, get to meet some of the staff that's here, you know, just get to be a part of it and know that it's a welcoming place. Once they come in, you know, they realize, you know, we're a community school, so we do a lot more than just educate kids. We do, we help with basic needs. We help with careers. We do, you name it, we have it. So, you know, for them to come in, and a lot of times, you know, I hear their expressions where they'll say, like, wow, I didn't know all this was going on at this school. Or,
yeah.
wow, this is not what I imagined this school to be. You know, sometimes depending where the neighborhood is, it automatically gets that impression. So, you know, having them in the building really helps to change that.
It really does. And what are the demographics that we're talking about? This always concerns me because I know that culturally some people, you know, are scared of schools and scared of teachers, if I may use that term, scared of, in a very respectful manner. They don't know how to approach an American school where we look for people to come to us and we are welcoming. Some schools in other countries can be a little standoffish. Okay, it's just a cultural thing. All right, what's the makeup of the people you're talking about, and how it's all working out for them, and also the income level? Does that have anything to do with it?
Yeah, so being one of the elementary schools here in Bethlehem, like obviously we have a huge difference between all of our elementary schools. My school specifically, I'm 95% economically disadvantaged. About 75% Hispanic, 15% African American, and then the other 10, just, you know, different.
Buried. Buried, yeah.
Yep, yeah.
Yeah.
So, you know, but, and that's where we need to really step it up, because when you have, you know, 95% that is economically disadvantaged, that's when we start to come up with different things. So, like, we have, for example, a food pantry. We have a state-recognized food pantry where, you know, we can help our community. And that goes beyond our families. That goes just anyone in our community. It could be from another elementary school. It could be,
of course,
just elderly people that are living in the neighborhood. We try to help out with, food bags. We give out about 100 food bags a week. We have a clothing closet. So, you know, this year we give out.
You're talking about your school, right? You're talking about
your school.
Marvite. Okay.
Yep.
Where'd you go to college? Where'd you go
right
to college? I went to Westchester. Where'd you go to college? I went to Westchester. Where'd you go?
I went to Kutztown.
All right, I don't like you all red. No, I'm just kidding. That's fine. They're all the varied 14 state colleges, okay? You went to Kutztown, all right? Where'd you go, Charlie, by the way, before I forget?
I went to King's College.
Where's that? Where's
up
King's?
In Wilkes-Barre area.
Oh, okay. All right, good enough, all right? So you're not one of the state college guys, okay?
No, I'm not.
Like Westchester, Kutztown, Indiana, all those sort of things. Okay. Okay, Eric, you went to Kutztown, all right? I went to Westchester. All right, I guarantee you I'm a lot older than you. You're an elementary school principal. Did they teach you anything about all the things you're doing now? Food bags, okay, dealing with different cultures, language barriers, working with people like Charlie. Well, I'm not nailing Kutztown. I'm nailing everybody here, okay? Because this, I went a long time ago, okay? But you're obviously a lot younger than me, Eric. Your principal.
Yeah. And you're right. I mean, I never he never prepared me for half of the things.
Yeah, exactly.
I mean, right. I mean, you know, from the first day, your first interaction with a family or with a parent or anything like that, that's not in a rule book. You know, you kind of just figure it out as you go and you see where the needs are. But we are lucky. I mean, you know, with partners, you know, it's really all our partners. Like, you know, between LVCC and just some of our other big partners, that's what really steps up because we all have the same goal. You know, like once you're in,
you do.
You know, we all want to see one, our students succeed, and we want to be able to help the families because then in the end, that's what's going to help the students succeed.
Yeah, and, you know, it's interesting. You're the principal of Moorvine Elementary in Bethlehem. You are responsible, as are the other 15 principals, as your superintendent, et cetera, to get all these things, food pantries, et cetera, for the whole community, okay? Never taught to you, okay? Even though you're the principal, they're training you to be a principal, okay, at Kutztown or Westchester or whoever else, okay? Okay, or Penn State, I don't care where, or any other college in the country, okay? This is why groups like Charlie's are so important, this collaboration. Charlie, help me out here, okay? The collaboration between what you do, okay, and getting kids ready for school, because the schools were suddenly thrust into this role, especially over the last year, okay, with the pandemic. Talk to me, Charlie. Okay,
yeah,
what do you find is, yeah, go ahead, go.
Yeah,
you know what I'm going.
I'm going to echo Eric, but three things come to mind when I talk about collaborations with school districts. And the three things are mutual opportunities, increased services for families, and building trust with families. And so the mutual opportunities are, okay, the benefit from the community and the school district. What can we benefit from coming together and having one common goal? And that would be, you know, increase services for families and support families with resources and other needs, as Eric mentioned, a food pantry, and just common needs. You know, Eric has also reached out to us numerous times of saying, you know, this family, single parent family, needs childcare, so the parent can go to work, the children can do a before and after school program, and school is there for them. So we come in and support that before and after school program for that parent. And other needs, as Eric mentioned, pre-K programs and quality child care. And then building trust with families. And so the building trust with families starts at an early age. It starts when we get an infant or we get a toddler coming into our center, building that trust with that family and then moving that trust over into the school district realm and making sure the families are comfortable with going into the school district. There's a lot of connections with the Bethlehem Area School District and our centers in Bethlehem. Just going to visit the school or doing professional development with the school district on different literacy components. That kind of helps our teachers understand what the children are going to need to move on to kindergarten.
It's amazing what you guys do and how important this coordination is. It's just amazing. Eric, how do your teachers, talk about your teachers, okay, in kindergarten, how do they work with how do they collaborate, if I may, with Charlie's group?
I'll give you one example. My kindergarten teachers do a pre-K literacy night, And basically the year for any students that are coming into kindergarten, so the year before, they host about four sessions, and they focus on different things that they can do, you know, at home to get them ready for when they start kindergarten. And one cool collaboration that we did with LBCC was Charlie had some of his employees from one of the centers, actually a couple centers, they joined some of those pre-K literacy nights. So they joined in so that way they could see, like, okay, well, what are you teaching to the families? And then they can use those same things, those same tools and strategies with the kids at the center itself.
And I love the whole idea. I wish you could see me. I have a big smile on my face. Pre-K literacy night. Okay? I just think back to we're talking pre-K literacy night. I just love that, getting kids ready right off the bat and getting the families to understand how important this is. I mean, it really and truly is. Eric, continue with me. How long have you been working with Charlie's group, with Lehigh Valley Children's Center?
I'd say probably I connected with them about 6 years ago, and to the point I even sent my own daughter there. She's in kindergarten now, but she was at LBCC at two different campuses.
Does she go to Marvine?
She does not. We live in Easton.
Just as well. Okay, let her go to somebody else during the day. Okay, that's cool. Talk to me about how this relates. How long have you been principal?
I've been at this school for 3 years. I've been in administration for 7.
Okay, cool. That's perfect. Okay. Hence, you're able to see, okay, how much, I'm assuming this, how much better the kids are doing with proper family engagement from an early age, proper school children's center coordination as they go pre-K, K. What are the results of this that you see in first, second, and third grade? You must talk to people, and you must be happy with the results because this continues, and you know it works. But what do you see, actually? Or your teacher, if you could translate that for me. Yeah.
And I think you're right. It's a combination of everything. Everything from the kids coming in more prepared, to even, you know, the trainings that the teachers are going through and just how amazing they are as well. But our data has really skyrocketed. When you look at, for example, back in like the spring of 2016, we always use like benchmark assessments at the end of the year. I had in, if I pick a grade level here, let's just say second grade, okay?
Yeah.
So at the end of second grade back in spring of 2016, I had about 43% of the students that were basically where they needed to be. They were at or above benchmark. Okay,
mm-hmm.
That's, I mean, when you think of that number, that's pretty low, 43%. That's not great. You go back to the spring of 2019. Now, you know, I couldn't tell you last year's because of the pandemic, but if I look back to the spring of 2019, I went from 43% to 87% of the second graders at the end of the school year that were at or above benchmark.
Wow, that's
so,
double.
So when you're looking
that's
at
literally
like future
double.
Success,
that's literally double,
yeah,
43
exactly.
to 87.
Yep, and it's like that in every grade level. First grade went from 63 to 84. Kindergarten went from 67 to 78. There was a huge increase, you know, and that's a combination of everything.
Congratulations.
So, you know, oh, thank you. Yeah,
of course it's a combination of everything. I agree. They have great teachers in those grades. Okay, great coordination from the very beginning, but it works. My point is it works, okay? And what do you hear from your colleagues or other principals? Okay, they must look at this, okay, and say, "Wow, Eric's doing something really right there." So, what's the conversation between the other principals and you on this?
And honestly, I mean, I think a lot of them would agree with the things that I'm saying because we, as a district, we go through everything together. So, like for example, even before the teachers were trained, you know, for like our Reading by Grade 3 initiative, right? So before they went through that training, us as principals went through it as a cohort. So that way we could see like, okay, well, this is what they're going to be going through. Let's go through it first. So we started going through trainings. You know, we host a lot of the same events like those pre-K literacy nights. So, you know, being that we're a larger district, our 16 schools, I will say we work really well together and we have all the same goals.
Yep.
You know, we meet all the time. We try to keep everything as consistent as we can. You know, if one of them doesn't have, for example, if they don't have a food pantry, and they have a family who's in need, obviously they call me right away, we set up bags for them. We set up clothes for them, whatever they need. You know, so we're a good group of administrators.
Oh, I bet.
That work.
I bet you are. And again, I have to say, you know, who would have thought? And I certainly would have not when I was teaching that there were a need for schools to set up food pantries. It's really it's a scary world, and we're doing the right thing. And last year was just brutal with that. It magnified it. But just to have that as part of a principal's bailiwick is just absolutely just amazing. Charlie, how many schools do you work with?
We work with 17 different school districts, and then in Bethlehem, we work with about 5 different elementary schools combined with 4 different centers that are in the Bethlehem area.
Okay, and what whole this is a crazy question. You probably don't know the answer, but there I think Eric said there were like 16 elementaries. You work with 5 of them. Okay, is it economics that holds the other ones back? In other words, they don't need your services, or what is that? If I may ask, I'm just curious. Yeah,
it's just basically where our centers are strategically placed within the Bethlehem area and township area. So it's really just where our locations are and what locations are matched up with the school district. So if you can imagine, a full service center has before and after school programming, and we can only service so many schools that are
right,
in that area for either transportation and or the school district provides the transportation. One of the centers in particular that actually Eric started at was William Penn, and that's literally a block up from our center. So that matches really good with any summer programming that they're running throughout the year where a working parent can drop off at our center. We can walk them up to the summer literacy program or even if it was a mathematical program, and then they can come back to us and stay there until their parent gets off of work. So it's a nice support and a bridge, you know, for the district and for the parent to work together.
All right. Thank you. That was a great explanation. Now I'm going to hit you up with a little piece of history. Are you ready?
Yes.
You ready?
Okay. Yes.
There are very few honorary U.S. citizens. Okay. For example, Winston Churchill is one. And do you know who another one is? William Penn and his wife. There's only about 10 of those. Okay.
Oh, wow.
And Mr. and Mrs. Penn, okay, are both honorary U.S. citizens, though, of course, quite posthumously. Okay, they were long dead when the United States came into being, but they are one of the very few, or two of the very few. I think there's only about 7 or 8. There you go. Take that one to the bank, Eric. Next time you go visit the guy at William Penn. Okay, take that one to the bank. All right? I'm from Philly. I can brag a little bit on that one, okay? But, you brought it up. I didn't, okay? What do you see as – by the way, Eric – The other principals, Lehigh Valley works with 5 or 6 of them. Are they working with other groups like Lehigh Valley, like Children's Center of Lehigh Valley, LVCC?
That's probably one of our closest connections. Our district does have, like, we have a small pre-K program, too, where we have 5 classes in the district. You know, and again, a lot of that just comes from funding and stuff. So to have – you know, an organization like LVCC that we can work with, you know,
great.
To basically pick up what we can't.
It's
pretty amazing. And, you know, and I think that one thing that Charlie said there, like the locations are key, because I remember when I was at William Penn, I had a father who had just moved to the area. He was a single father, had 2 kids. We were having the hardest time with attendance because he had to work, couldn't find anyone to either bring the kids to school, pick them up. And, you know, I worked with Charlie and with the LVCC staff, and they helped to get him connected. He was Spanish-speaking, so I translated a lot of it.
Yeah.
You know, they got him connected. They even helped with funding. I mean, got him all set up where these kids could then, you know, go before school. Then they would get picked up right after school. And then by the time Dad got out of work, he could pick them up there, which helped their attendance, which then helped them become more successful, obviously.
Yeah. How many – what's the ESL population in Bethlehem? Since you just said Spanish-speaking, what's the ESL population?
Ooh, I don't know the exact percentage. I know we're
ballpark.
Pretty high, but I apologize. I don't know the exact percentage across the district.
That's okay. Do you have – let's just talk about more of mine. Are there kids who come from Spanish-speaking families?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I have probably about 75% are Hispanic. But I probably have of just Spanish speaking, I'd say probably about half of that.
Wow. So you are, if I may, Mr. Fontanez, you are a role model. Do you know that?
Well, thank you. I try to be.
You are. You are. I really mean that. I say that as an absolute compliment. Okay? I work a lot with ALAS, which is the Association of Latino Administrators and Superintendents. Okay? In fact, I got a show with them coming up on Friday. All right? And what you do and what you do as a person of Latin descent is absolutely incredibly important to everyone. I just want to tell you that. Okay? I mean that. You're a role model. Even though you went to Kutztown. I'll forgive you. Okay?
I knew that would come back.
Yeah, it would come back to haunt you. But I'm telling you, it's really good. So where do you see this going in the future? Charlie, what are the goals of LVCC?
Really, you know, just to continue the collaboration and partnership that we have with the district and try to make it, you know, stronger as we go into the future. I think one of the biggest parts is that the district is willing to kind of collaborate and go over supports and necessary needs that the child care has, but then we're also on board with what, you know, the district needs on us, where we're aligning our curriculum with the district, where we're basing activities off and lesson plans off of our PA learning standards, and then collaborating with the district on what is required baseline for entry into kindergarten, and then sharing that data with principals, teachers, even, you know, the IUs that service our children that go into the districts, sharing those parent meetings, you know, educational workshops, stuff like that, that will really enhance the family, will increase the school district's knowledge on who's coming in to the program, and then, you know, following through with that, and then the district takes them from there. And any supports that's needed throughout for before and after school programming, either the district can provide that, or we have LA Children's Centers or is equipped to provide that as well.
You know how important you are to all this, Charlie. I mean, not you, but your whole staff, your whole organization. You are so important to that K-12 education. Pre-K-12, okay?
Yeah,
you're just so darn important to this.
Yeah, our organization historically has been around for a long time, and we hope to, you know, at least be that, you know, starting block for children prior to getting into kindergarten. So
it's so important.
Larry.
It's true. It's so important to their future success. I mean, it's just that simple. And, Eric, where are we now with the pandemic in Bethlehem schools?
So we were doing a hybrid where the students were coming in 2 days a week, depending on their last name. But starting April 13th, we're actually coming back 4 days a week. All kids are coming back 4 days a week, and then Mondays will continue to be virtual.
Cool. Are you excited about them coming back full time? Are you all set?
I am.
So
yes. You know, the kids need it. I mean, it's hard. It's very hard for them. There's a lot of things that stand in our way. A lot of obstacles when they're at home and working virtually, and, you know, having them back in the building, even if it's just for one quarter, it's going to be one quarter. But you know what? That's going to
doesn't matter. No. That's good. Yeah, and everybody's worried about learning loss. And yes, I agree. There has obviously been learning loss. Okay, but everybody has to remember everybody's basically in the same boat. Okay,
yep.
And so we're kind of at an equal point again, so to speak, as best we can be. So and you'll see how resilient these kids and teachers are. It's just going to be amazing. Is there anything planned for the summer, like to help them catch up? Has anybody talked about that?
I can speak first, and then if Charlie has anything to add to that. But I know we're looking at different options. Like in July, we're looking at having one program where it would be more of, I don't want to call it a summer camp, but it's more focusing on like their social emotional needs.
Key.
Get them comfortable, you know, get them comfortable back in a building, right? Like into the school building. So working with some of our partners to come up with different activities there. And then in August, we're looking at doing a 2-week summer ramp up where we'll really focus on the specific skills that they need, especially in literacy.
Yeah, it's hard, but you know, some we're all going to bounce back and do great. We all did well, and it was groups like Charlie's, okay, you really stepped up during this past year. Gentlemen, thank you both. You're both pretty good guys, even though one of them went to Kutztown. I'll forgive you. That's mentioned. Westchester boy speaks out. Okay. Thank you, Eric. Thank you.
All right. No problem. It was very nice being on the show.
It's a pleasure to have you here, my friend, anytime. Hey, do me a favor. Go over to our website, ace-ed.org. See what we're doing over there. I think you'll like the magazine and all that. It's good stuff. Okay, you too, Charlie.
I will. I'll definitely check it out. I enjoyed some of the other episodes.
It's good stuff. Yeah, what can I tell you? We really do care about this thing, and the more voices we get involved like yours, the better off we are. Okay, the better off everybody is. Charlie, thanks a million. We'll stay in touch.
Yes, Larry, we will stay in touch. Thank you, and thanks for having both of us, and we appreciate all that you do.
Well, I appreciate you guys far more, okay? So thank you both. You guys have a great day, and stay safe, please, okay? Take care.
Bye-bye.
Thanks.
Bye-bye.
Thank you. And I hope Eric takes his William Penn principle out and wins a bar bet on this, okay? William Penn, honorary citizen, and Mrs. Penn, USA. Okay, there you go, posthumously. All right, we're going to archive the show over at ace-ed.org, ace-ed.org. That's our equity website. You'll enjoy it if you go over there, read our magazine, join with us. Everything's free. All the podcasts are there. I'm Larry Jacobs. This is Pre-K-12 Education Talk Radio. It's all part of the American Consortium for Equity in Education. Thanks for listening.